Thanks to a bunch of extremely popular online dating sites, there's a growing mountain of data about how we hook up, date, and generally judge people we don't know. Christian Rutter is the co-founder of the dating site OkCupid. In his new book, Dataclism, he looks at the information OkCupid and other sites gather from their users and tries to reveal the gap between what people say and what they do. Christian, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
There are a lot of very interesting charts and graphs in this book. So I want to start with one that shows the average length of messages people post on OkCupid. Mm-hmm. You showed that messages now are about just a third as long as they were back in 2005. What happened?
Well, I mean, smartphones happened, basically, and OkCupid developed an app, and people started typing on their phones, which just kind of in a physical sense is harder, but also it's just more chatty, I guess. I don't have a keyboard. It's very hard to go back and edit and all this kind of stuff, so it's just a lot more concise.
One of the nicest surprises in this book for me was that shorter messages don't necessarily mean that the writing is bad or getting worse. Can you talk about how Twitter compares with Shakespeare?
Yes, of course. I looked at a large sample of tweets and looked at the average word length in tweets. And of course, you know, the first blush would be that, you know, with all the abbreviations like U for Y-O-U and thanks, you know, T-H-X, that there would be shorter words on Twitter. And I found that just wasn't the case. They were longer, not only than Shakespearean English, but also in just kind of long form journalism. It's much shorter, obviously, because there's only 140 characters, but it is just as robust in a certain sense that as the kind of an unfettered writing environment.
You spend a lot of time in the book on race, some really fascinating stuff because you're tracking what people are actually doing and saying as opposed to what they might think or profess in other ways. What were the biggest surprises that you found?
All the data on race that I have is from dating sites, but on these sites, Black users especially, there's a bias against them. Every kind of way you can measure their success on a site, how people rate them, how often they reply to their messages, how many messages they get, that's all reduced. And so I obviously race is always a topic in this country, but especially now with Ferguson, it's such an emotional issue. And it's rare that you can find data that speaks of how one person of whatever race treats another person of another race in an aggregate and kind of measurable way. And so online data is very good at that, and specifically dating data, because it's all just strangers mixing with each other. And the whole premise of a dating site is to judge people. And so you really are able to tease that out free of any sort of offline social constraints. You know, your friends don't know what you do on a dating site like they do know what you do on Facebook. So that's why I relied so heavily on dating data for that chapter.
You found that, you know, people who might say that, no, I'm not racist, but in the aggregate, the numbers are showing something different. They're revealing clear racial biases.
Oh, yeah, of course. When you ask anybody directly, I mean, you know, even if it's just a computer asking the question, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, interracial marriage is great. I don't care what race my match is. You know, all of that stuff that you'd expect a kind of decent, forward-thinking person to say. But when you actually are observing passively what they're doing, when they don't think you're keeping track, you see a totally different story.
Well, this kind of brings us to the political culture. What did you find there? Is the country as polarized as it looks on cable news?
In the book, I do look at speech patterns and political speech in particular, and found that certainly if you look at divisive speech, that is increasing, and that does correlate to kind of more gerrymandered political consciousness in the country.
So what does that mean? Like, on your dating site, are Republicans likely to date Democrats, or does that not happen?
Oh, well, on OkCupid, I mean, we have found that the thing that matters the most is whether you care about politics one way or the other. If you're ambivalent, you will have a hard time relating to, I assume, someone who's passionate, whether it's red or blue.
With all this data from the dating site, you write about attractiveness. When you break down the data, what have you learned about what men and women think about attractiveness when they're dating?
Well, age is a huge variable in online dating. Women generally like a guy to be the same age as them, up until the guys hit about 40. But when you flip it around, when you look at how men perceive women, it is pretty much a just straight ticket vote for 20, which is the lowest age that I looked at in my data set. So, you know, even 45-year-old guys rate 20-year-old women the best. It's very pervasive opinion among at least the people on OkCupid.
So the data confirm that men are, in fact, creepy.
Yeah, or dreamers, either one, however you want to look at it. I mean, what happens is this is just measuring people's opinions, not what they actually go out and do. What you see when you actually look at what people do, you see the realism set in. So these 40-year-old guys who, yeah, you know, that 20-year-old girls are hottest, 21-year-old girls, the people they actually have the courage to actually go out and message, it's a lot older. It's 30, 35-year-old women.
So, Christian, if I asked you to make a value judgment, because you clearly love diving into all this data, and we'll leave aside government intrusion, but just
sure.
collecting all this data, tons and tons of info from various companies, is getting all this information about ourselves good or bad?
Oh, I mean, I definitely think it's good. I think to speak to your sort of implicit concern about privacy, for sure. I mean, you know, all of this data, everything in the book, and generally anything that you read online about people's behavior on sites is all aggregated and anonymous. Nobody's looking at your personal account. But when you put all this stuff together, you're able to look at people in a way that people have never been able to look at people before. You know, like you have millions and millions of people living their lives through an interface that records what they're doing as they live. And, you know, look, there's no way that OkCupid, Facebook, Twitter, these sites, even added all together, can stand in for the entirety of the human condition. People do all kinds of things that they don't do online, but they're doing fewer and fewer things that they don't do online. And it's the beginning, of, I think, of a revolution in how social science and behavioral science are done.
Christian Rutter is a co-founder of the online dating site OkCupid. His new book is Dataclism: Who We Are When We Think No One Is Watching. Christian Rutter, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.